After the Sabbath, as the first day of the week was dawning, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to see the tomb. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord, descending from heaven, came and rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning, and his clothing white as snow. For fear of him, the guards shook and became like dead men. But the angel said to the women, "Do not be afraid. I know that you are looking for Jesus who was crucified. He is not here, for he has been raised, as he said. Come, see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell the other disciples. He has been raised from the dead, and indeed he is going ahead of you to Galilee. There you will see him. This is my message to you." So they left the tomb quickly with fear and great joy and ran to tell the disciples. Suddenly Jesus met them and said, "Greetings." And they came to him, took hold of his feet, and worshipped him. Then Jesus said to them, "Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers and sisters to go to Galilee. There they will see me."
I was looking the wrong way to see how many bubbles were there before. The angel rolled the stone away, which is pretty cool, except only one of the four Gospels actually says that. We have four Gospels talk about the resurrection, all four of them, in fact. But there's four distinctive and subtly different versions of the Easter story in each of the Gospels. Now, the differences do not take away from the reality of the resurrection. They, in fact, add to its verisimilitude. Is that a good word for that? If you want to put a jury on alert, get two witnesses with exactly the same story. That's a sure sign that they made it up. We have four Gospels that come from four different independent oral traditions where they didn't have a chance to check out the details and size them up and put them together. Different witnesses to different from the events that were decades earlier, they're naturally going to be a little bit different. And it's only in Matthew where an angel comes and rolls a stone away. Good one. Someone's woke. One thing that they would not have made up, which is in all four Gospels, though, is who the original witnesses to the event were. Who was it in all four Gospels? What flavor of human being? Women. Guess whose witnessing was not valued in court cases back then, in Roman or in Jewish court cases? Women. Because, you know, women. Women whose word and witness was not reliable in the courts. If you want to make a believable story from scratch, you will not start with women being the witnesses in those days. Of course, if you wanted to make a believable story from scratch, you probably wouldn't start with an executed rabbi coming back from the dead, would you? Now, again, there are differences between all the gospel stories. If you look at Matthew, Mark, and Luke, and John, and you read through them, there's a wonderful thing called a parallel Bible, or a synoptic Bible, and it lines up all four gospels next to each other, and you can see what the differences are, and it's pretty revealing. Were there two angels at the tomb? Was there one angel at the tomb? Was it just a young man at the tomb? Who comes to the tomb? Was it Mary Magdalene? Was it Mary and Mary, Jesus' mother? Was it the two Marys and Salome? Who sees the risen Jesus first? They're all a little bit different. But Matthew is unique, as the song shared earlier today. Matthew is unique in that he's the only one who answers how the rock gets moved. In the other three Gospels, the rock just already is. But we get this wonderful story of this earthquake and this attitudinal angel who who does his thing and then picture you've got an earthquake. And we're told these soldiers, like, go catatonic. And the angel goes, it says, and sits on the rock, I imagine crossing his or her legs, and sits with an exclamation point. Okay? You can sit with an exclamation point, can't you? My dog, who's pretty arthritic, every time he gets down, goes down with, like, a thud of bones. It's an exclamation point. But I'm thinking a more powerful exclamation point that says, this is serious. This is a thing. Someone who sat with an exclamation point. Rosa Parks sat in the front of the bus. That was an exclamation point. That was boom. That was mic drop. That was nothing will ever be the same. It means something. That's what this angel is like sitting down. Mic drop. She brought him. Oh, there. I should have used the mic. That would have been good. This is an angel with chutzpah to get Yiddish on you. Now, Matthew has a bunch of details that pertain just to this messenger from God. the angel shows up, according to Matthew, with a seismos, an earthquake. But not just any old seismos. It's a seismos megas, a big honking earthquake, we're told. And the angel has left a bunch of hardened Roman soldiers catatonic on the ground. I want you to picture Monty Python and one of them going, "I've soiled my armor." I'm thinking, if it's Gabriel, I want it to be Gabriel. Gabriel was the one who announced the birth in Matthew as well. And I imagine Gabriel going, "All right, y'all, I brought him into the world the first time. I can announce him the second time." I'm thinking Samuel Jackson. "Go ahead, say death wins one more time. I dare you." I have to leave some of that out. Who has been in a big honking earthquake? In New England, it's a fairly safe, not too many. Medium. Who's been in a medium honking earthquake? A few. I lived for 3 years when I was itty bitty in Japan, and we had tremors fairly regularly, because that's a place where you get them pretty regularly, but never a big quake. We experienced one, 12 years ago or so in Montpelier. Did y'all have it here too? We had this. I was walking down the stairs to the basement when it started, and it was kind of a wonka bonka bonka bonka, and I thought, shoot, the washing machine's off balance again. And I go downstairs, and it's bonka 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 bonka, and I look at the washing machine, and I open it up, and it's empty, and then it's an earthquake, and right then it stopped. Like, oh, I didn't even get to enjoy it. By the time I realized what it was done. But here we have a seismos megas. Sorry, I'm getting my announcement. A real earthquake changes things dramatically and permanently. We all haven't lived through a big honking earthquake here, but I know everyone here has lived through a big honking life quake. Because nobody gets through life without their more than their fair share of those. We all get life tremors a lot, right? Stuff that happens that keeps things a little shaken up, a little unsure, we can usually deal. But then we have those life quake megas. Big quakes, stuff that happens that keeps things from ever going back to the way they were before. Sometimes they start with a tremor. When I met this one day to become Reverend Barbara Lemmel, my spouse, my wife, that began with tremors. Little all shook up kind of thing. It was fine. And it wasn't until later that we realized what this has added up to a big life quake. Barb had to say some no's to some very important people for us to have a relationship. Nothing could go back. Barb and I used to do a lot of traveling in Latin America, doing work with Habitat for Humanity, and we've seen brutal poverty in the Yucatan and Guatemala, but we never saw the wild discrepancy between brutalizing, dehumanizing poverty and incredible wealth than we did in Brazil, where having money and having the right skin color and the right shade of skin color determined your access to full humanity and power. And when we came back to the States, it allowed us to start seeing that same kind of white privilege and class privilege here in the States too, which sometimes is more subtle, but sometimes not. But in our family, the biggest life quake for us would have to be Barb's TBI, her traumatic brain injury that was 11 years ago, will be 11 years this summer. We kind of divide our life into BTBI and ADTBI. Life before head injury and life after head injury. Everything was different. The way we partner, the way we parent, the way we do everything. She was different. I had our relationship was different. We went to a marriage counselor for several months because we really had to renegotiate life together. My role had to be different because her role had to be different. You two have had life quakes, big ones, and everyone's is different. It might be recovery from an addiction. It might be a pink slip. It might be a death of someone at the center of your life. It might be an act of trauma or an accident or violence. It might be a dreaded word from a doctor. It might be the silence on the other end of the phone line. Life quakes change us, and there's no going back. It's like the angel sitting on the stone. It's an exclamation point. Nothing can be the same. A life mic drop. Matthew the Greek in which he writes is quite good, unlike his friend Mark, whose Greek is terrible. Matthew wants to make it clear to the reader that there's a couple of really important things that happen. And he uses a Greek word, idou, which back in the day in King James was a really wonderful word. Behold. That's a word that says, the next thing that comes up, pay attention to. Behold, blah, 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 blah. In our current translation, it's kind of weeny now. It's suddenly. This is what our Bible translating workbook says. Idou, a demonstrative particle used chiefly in the Septuagint for hine. Properly, the imperative, the aorist middle of idon, to see. You know, if you live in a place like that, suddenly just might be a fine word. But for the rest of us, behold was pretty good in the King James. Nowadays we want, look it! Or, yo, check this out! And there's two things that Matthew says happen that you need to look it at. Look it at? Do you look it at or just look it? But yo, check this out. Look at a great earthquake. And then the words from the messenger of God. Don't be afraid. And a few verses later, idou, behold, look it. Yo, check this out. Jesus appears to them. And the second sentence he says is, don't be afraid. Why does the angel and why does Jesus say, do not be afraid? The most basic reason, of course, is because they are afraid. Matthew even says so. He also says they have joy. life quakes and earthquakes shake us up, even when it's good news, even when it's happy stuff, even when we're joyous, it's mixed in with fear because it makes the future unknown. It means we aren't in control anymore. It means we don't know what the next step is, and we have to do it on faith. Even good earthquakes, even good life quakes shake us up and they make us lose our bearings. And bad life quakes even more so. We can get metaphorically buried in the rubble. We can get buried in the tomb of not so good Friday. We can hang out in the awful in-betweenness of Holy Saturday for a very long time. Some people live there for years. I don't do a lot of it formally anymore, but I used to do spiritual direction with clients, not with parishioners, because that's mixing up roles. But and I would often get someone coming in with incredible histories that would make your hair curl. It was like their life was just one earthquake, life quake after another. And if someone comes in the midst of things not going well, the stock spiritual direction question to ask is, where do you see God working in this? And they usually reply, "What the heck are you talking about? Where is God in this horrible situation? Nowhere! That's the problem. That's why I'm here to talk to you." They look at me like I'm crazy, but I'm serious. Because here's the thing. The promise of Easter is that God is present with us even in the life quakes. So I can ask that question. It might seem insensitive in the midst of a life quake or a faith quake. But I can ask that question because I know the Easter story. I know how Good Friday comes out. Paul wrote in Romans chapter 8, "For those who love God, all things work together towards good." Paul uses a great word, synergio, where it's where we get synergy from. Paul says, all things work in synergy toward good for those who love God. Now, that's not the same thing as saying that everything is good. That's stupid, because there are a lot of things that are horrible and terrible, and you cannot redeem them by themselves. And I suspect you've all experienced that. And if anyone goes, "It's all for the best," you have every right to tell them they're wrong. Earthquakes still happen. Cancer still sucks. Injustice is a crime. But God can redeem that evil towards good, towards life, towards peace, towards wholeness, towards shalom. If God can come back with something like life after we've killed Jesus, God can redeem anything, even us, and even our laundry list of faith quakes and life quakes. God walks with us in the midst of it. Jesus is present with us, saying, "Do not be afraid." Now, that doesn't make it go away. This isn't magic. This isn't a Disney movie. It will not make it not have ever happened. But it can be redeemed. It can be brought toward healing and wholeness and good. Easter says that in the midst of our life quakes, God is present. And God is up to something. Not easy, but good. So don't be afraid. I know some of your stories. But I don't know all your stories. I don't know all your life quakes. I don't know your tomb. I don't know how hard it's been, or how much you've lost, or how long you've hurt. But I do know this, that whoever you are, and whatever your life has dealt you, the risen Jesus walks with you into life, into an inner life, into a resurrection, into something new. I shared a few weeks ago in the story about the raising of Lazarus, which was sort of a down payment on Easter, that God has a place for you in the world. And the tomb is not it. You don't have to stay there. I don't know the specifics of where God is in your life or what God is up to in your life, but I do know that one way or another, in your own life quakes, God is always seeking to roll away the stone, to let the light in, to let in a cool breeze. God is always working to roll away the stone. And just for good measure, God sits on it with an exclamation point. Mic drop. Boom. So happy Easter. You don't do it alone. Christ is risen. Christ is risen indeed. Alleluia.